It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Harry Winks right at the last. Dele Alli. Lamela. To Dombele.
Hugo Lloris. And he saved it.
And the ball. Shishenko.
Son of a mission to go alone.
This is sensational. World class. Absolutely stunning.
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. I'm Ricky Sacks. No, I'm not. I'm Richard Cracknell, sitting in the hot seat once again. I bet there was all thinking, oh, it's Ricky. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm back. Never in doubt. Never in doubt, Lee. Never in doubt.
Never in doubt, mate. Honestly, never in doubt. What are you talking about? A football match or you never being back? Doubt. Both of them, mate. Never in doubt that you were coming back and never in doubt that we were going to win that football match tonight.
John, Jamie, never in doubt. It's never in doubt. It was never, no, it never, wasn't in doubt.
Never easy. In doubt, mate. 3 points easy. In the bank. Happy days.
Easy. All right. Easy. Listen, I haven't even done my introductions, have I? But I was just so, pent up to get never in doubt. Joining me, you've already heard, of course, first up, via the daily, @daily_Hotspur, for those of you kids that are on the social media, it is the one and only Mr. Jamie Brown. Evening, Jamie.
Evening, yeah, I hope everyone's doing well. Of course, 3 points of Spurs, but I think definitely for me, slightly mixed feelings. It was a very disappointing performance, but you know, it's a very big win. I mean, I did touch on the previous pod that I do think Fulham, they're a side, yes, they're in the bottom three, but I think they're probably a side that will get out eventually. I think they have a lot of quality in their side. But that's not to say, obviously, you look at our team and the people we had in kind of the lineup tonight, you still feel as though there was a lot more quality to go and really beat Fulham. And yes, we obviously got the victory, and maybe you can argue sometimes you need to win like that. But no, for me tonight, it was, you know, we just got the win, but the performance was slightly underwhelming considering who had on the pitch. But you know, 3 points. I think we're just a couple of points off the top four now. So I'm not going to complain too much.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Next up, via Lily_White_Rose. Again, for all you kids out there on MySpace and HotTube and MSN Messenger, it is Mr. John Wenham. Evening, John.
Hello, mate. How are you doing? You well?
Yes, very well. Thank you. I'm all good.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely chuffed. You know, tonight was just about getting the job done in the end, you know, getting those 3 points on the board. We won with lovely football on the weekend. You can't always win like that. So tonight, went over to Fulham, London derby. It's a whole coaching staff full of ex-Tottenham people. You've got Scott Parker there, Matty Wells, Nathan Gardner, Rob Birch. So they know Tottenham players and style inside out. So it was always going to be a tough ask tonight. We saw that in the game that was played in Tottenham, the 1-1 draw. And Fulham have got some good players. I really came away from it really liking the look of Joachim Anderson, the centre-half, who they got on loan from Lyon. I'm a little surprised by that because, you know, we were heavily linked with him, and I understand Lyon paid 25 million. So you know, maybe someone we should be looking at in the summer. 24, 6 foot four. I thought he gave some lovely balls, sort of Toby style balls from the back. And it was just, you know, important for us to get the 3 points over the line tonight. So I'm absolutely delighted, to be honest with you. And it lets our league position look a lot more comfortable looking ahead to the Crystal Palace game at home on Sunday. So, yeah, roll on.
Excellent stuff. Now, talking of being 6 foot four and 24, our next guest is not that. I see what I've done.
More
there.
Like 42, I don't know about 24. I'd say the 6 foot, I'm about 6 foot three, tall, dark, and handsome, son. You know what I mean?
He's our very own Fernando Llorente sat there.
Well, there you go. There you go. You called it earlier in the week, mate, and you still to this day have not seen me and the mighty Fernando in the same room, have you, Crackers?
No, you have not. No, you haven't. Exactly. Well, John and Jamie were via their Twitter handles and via Didcot and Bristol Parkway and Fulham Broadway. He's on the crazy train. It's the one and only Mr. Lee McQueen.
How you doing, Crackers? Great to have you back. Evening, lads. Evening, listeners. And if you want to get me on socials, kids, it's no underscores for me. No dots, no underscores. It's just simply at Lee McQueen. Do you get me? So fantastic. And I got the blue book out tonight. Buzzing because there was a win that we got tonight, which was literally never in doubt. I mean, all right, jokes aside, let's be brutal. We probably should have lost the game, let alone bloody win it. So a little bit of luck on our side tonight. And yeah, we've the table, as John said and Jamie said, looks a lot better now. And we're on the charge. We're on the charge. There's a lot more greens than reds now on the Premier League table. So can't be bad news, mate.
Good stuff. All right. So we started the game. Lloris in goal and captain Doherty, Toby, Sanchez and Davies, Højbjerg and Dembele, and then we the four up front. And there's been all sorts of acronyms and first letter things going on social media with SHAG. Am I allowed to say shag on the podcast? Okay, yeah.
Is that in your best Mike Myers voice, mate?
And check out pretty much Son, Baldelli, and oh man, it was the first time they started. So I'll start with you, Jamie. Reggie missing out that lineup, and I think that's what everybody went, oh hello, I'm not too sure about that. What do you, is that a knock or is that just a tactical decision?
No, I think if you look at Aurier and Reguilon, they've obviously both just come back from injury, so I assume that they're just managing it. But I think you have to say it's quite alarming, kind of the gap in quality between the two sets of fullbacks that we now have. You know, Serge, you know, Aurier has really turned a corner this season, and I've actually been really impressed with him on a number of occasions. Sergio Reguilon, I think, you know, needless to say, he's obviously been a fantastic signing for us, but you know, you look at some of the performances tonight from the other fullbacks, I thought they were very disappointing. And yeah, I mean, you can really, really tell the difference when they're not playing, when Aurier and Reguilon aren't playing. So that's obviously a big disappointment. But I assume tonight, obviously, they have just come back from injury. So maybe they were just slightly managing them. Obviously, we only played a couple of days ago. So, you know, maybe not rushing them back. But I think the front four was obviously the big talking point. Really, really exciting to see those four starting together. Yes, maybe we didn't quite get the quality out of them that we wanted tonight. But again, you know, Dele Alli's just coming back into form. Gareth Bale just coming back into form. And again, they're kind of coming back from small injuries and getting their fitness back up. So hopefully maybe a couple of weeks' time or maybe just a few weeks' time, we'll see them firing. But yeah, tonight was a really exciting kind of look to what Spurs could finish the season with. Very exciting.
Excellent stuff. Lee, I'll come to you next. And I know you love your blue book, and I don't know if you've got this stat there, but that front four that started for the first time together tonight, somebody had put up earlier 439 goals between them. 439, which is like crazy amounts, and they excite, don't they? On paper, it looks an incredible four.
For sure, it does, and that's an incredible stat. I think, you know, when you look at them starting tonight, I thought Dele played well. I thought he had a lively game. I thought he had some good energy. He was getting into them positions that we know and love him to get into. Unlucky that the goal was kind of an own goal in the end. You know, from his perspective. it looked like to me that Bow had played too many games consecutively in terms of where his fitness is at. I don't think that's a bad thing, by the way. I'm absolutely loving the fact that them four started tonight. But I just think it's about getting kind of minutes in his legs. You know, the Premier League is a different beast, isn't it, to the Europa League? There's no doubt about that. So you could kind of see that. Delighted, obviously, Son and Kane. Both should have scored before he had us, to be fair, in the first half. So, you know, we had some chances, but we were woeful tonight. And I don't want to be like all, you know, negative doom and gloom about it, because, you know, you can hear in my voice, I'm buzzing, right? Do you know what I mean? Like I said, but 9 shots we had in total, only 2 on target. The own goal obviously doesn't even count because it was an own goal. So we didn't create enough. And when you go away to Fulham, and I said this on the pod last week, that they've actually passed the football more times than what we have in the whole of the season. It was going to be a tough game in that respect. But with the confidence flowing through us from Burnley, you would have thought that we'd have got on the front foot a little bit more, wouldn't you, lads and listeners? Yeah. I thought so. I thought that at half time, some of the guys in the studio on BT Sport, and I loved it. I love all the commentary and the guys, Rio Ferdinand and whatever. And they were saying that, you know, we've done all right and we played quite well, and Steve Sidwell and whatever. And I actually didn't see that in the first half. I thought it was the 1-1 draw at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium waiting to happen. And I wrote that, didn't I, lads, on the WhatsApp. I said, this really reminds me, second half, it could have absolutely been that. I mean, 2 shots on target, 40% possession. 372 passes compared to their 526. And out of them passes, we were woeful, 72% passing accuracy. So for me, I look at, you know, there's a couple of things in there. So I'm not having a moan, but I just want to, you know, be real. We've gone to Burnley have come to us. We've battered them absolutely on the front foot, been superb. And then we've gone to Fulham and just sat back. Not enough. And this reminded us of the Wolves game, the Fulham game before, the Crystal Palace game. You know, go 1-0. You know, we look at you, we're all nodding. We've seen this before. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to call it out right now. That ain't Jose's fault. Jose played the front six that everyone was screaming for in terms of the front four, Ndombele and Højbjerg. Everyone wanted that. The only player that he didn't pick tonight, or the two fullbacks that weren't available to him tonight, were Reggie and Aure. And if we're honest, we probably would have picked all them other players that he played. Jason had a shout about Lucas Moura not starting tonight because obviously he's been on great form. So he was unlucky, but I think we a lot of us wanted Dele in. And I don't think Jose's gone out there and gone go low block. I don't think he has. I don't think they were low blocking in the first half. It was a bit free flowing. But for me, it was a tactical change. And this is what worries me. Scott Parker in the second half, he made a tactical change and bought another body in the centre of midfield. And we didn't react to that. And that's what changed it. I mean, our right hand side. I mean, you're nodding, right? Doherty, I mean, where are you, man? He's almost coming inside as a third centre-back and just leaving acres of space down that left-hand side for Lookman to go down. So, look, I just think that, and John, you took the words out of my mouth, and I always think of Jamie when he said, get the job done, and it's true. The job is done. We get the 3 points, and we get on with one. But, yeah, it is disappointing. I'm not saying that we should have gone there and blown them away, but Who wasn't on the edge of their seat tonight? Who? How many nows you got left, listeners? You got any left?
Very, very true. Just picking up from that point that Lee's made there, John, and maybe there's a little bit of a perception issue here where we turned Wolfsburg over, which, you know, they're not a great side. Burnley, we did play well, and I thought they was poor. With Fulham, do you know what? I think they're in a little bit of a false position, to be honest. For the lack of a goal scorer there, I think they would be much further up from their place. So are we maybe being a little bit harsh on Spurs for not absolutely skittling them tonight?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you only have to look at their recent revival. You know, they've had some great results. They had a good result against Liverpool. They obviously drew with us away from home. And they've got some very good players, in my opinion. I mentioned Anderson at the beginning. They've got Areola in goal. He's a great keeper. They've got Anguissa in the middle. Lookman. The two fullbacks are very good as well. They've got Loftus-Cheek in there on loan from Chelsea. So they've got a good core of players, actually, at Fulham. And they play nice football. They've had a lot of possession all season. But look, they were going to be fighting for their lives tonight. They know that Newcastle are on a very sort of negative downward spiral at the moment. A lot of backroom stuff going on there. And obviously they've got Saint-Maximin, Almiron out for, I think, I believe 6 weeks, and the striker, Callum Wilson, as well. So Fulham probably saw this tonight as a massive opportunity to climb out of the bottom three and then build a bit of comfort over Newcastle in the coming weeks, you know. So they would have been really up for this tonight. And I alluded to earlier the mass Spurs connections they've got across the coaching staff at Fulham. And they would have taken positivity from their result at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So Fulham would have been bang up for it tonight. And for me, it's wrong to think we're just going to go there and expect to roll them over. You know, it's a different game away from home in the Premier League. Everyone knows that. I know there aren't fans this season, but Fulham at home have been, you know, pretty decent in recent weeks. And they showed that again tonight. I thought they played well. And the other argument I'd say for Spurs is that in another day, we could have been free up at halftime. We're talking about we're hanging on. But actually, Kane had a header that 9 times out of 10, he 100% scores. Son had one as well, and he's got a few headers this season. And I also think that was a penalty on Kane for the tackle from behind. It was a fantastic through ball by Ndombele. For me, Kane was tripped from behind, and that should have been a penalty, and it would have been 2-0 in a very, very different game. But we did show our resilience in the end to hang on. Huge credit to Hugo Lloris. He's come out with some criticism in recent weeks from people in our support. And once again tonight, he did not let us down. He made some vital saves towards the end. And I really, really liked, there was a corner that came in on about the 88th minute and he landed on it and caught it. And whenever we're playing teams and we're desperate for a goal and their keeper does that, I always think to myself, Christ, I'd love our keeper to do this the other way around, you know? So it was really nice to see that tonight. I watched the clock. It wasted about 37 to 40 seconds. And you can say, oh, why are Tottenham wasting time at Fulham? Premier League ain't easy. You go away to Fulham. We've played the other night. We've played so many more games than Fulham this season. We've been in the Europa League, advancing far in all the cup competitions. So players were looking tired tonight. Dele came in for only his first start, so his form and fitness levels are low. Same with Bale. You know, I know he's been playing recently, but he needs to build up those fitness levels. Ndombele has been in and out of the team with some injuries as well. So for me, we looked tired tonight, but we got the job done. The rotation of the fullbacks probably needed to happen. With Palace coming on the weekend, we're going to be up against Zaha, Townsend, and Eze. So we're going to have problems. So maybe they wanted to keep the fresher, more dynamic fullbacks left for that fixture. Against more challenging wing players, which we're going to see on Sunday. So, you know, we sort of got out of jail at the end tonight, but I'm delighted we did, and I'm really pleased.
I think it's also just worth pointing out on Fulham, as John said as well, they've only lost twice in the last 15 games. So they're a side that, as you said, I don't think they belong in the bottom three. And certainly over the last couple of months or so, they have really picked up. So I think it definitely is worth pointing out as well that this is a much improved Fulham side. And as you said, you know, they had been missing a goal scorer. They managed to get one in January in Josh Maguire, and I think he certainly added to their team. So I think it's definitely worth pointing out that, you know, they are a strong side, and especially at home as well. So I'm sure that's worth pointing out.
Can I point something out as well? To the contrary, they've won four Premier League games all season. So do you know what I mean? Like, you know, they're in a good reign of form. They've won four games all season. I mean, not being funny. And also, I'm not arguing here about we should be going to roll them over. I'm just kind of, you know, putting the facts where the facts are. You're right. They look like the informed team. But when I'd done the previous pod, we talked about informed teams. Burnley was one place behind Fulham in the informed table. So, you know what I mean? It's like, they're not that informed. And I think that I'll just pose this question to you guys, and actually to you, Craggs, if I may. If we'd have been on the front foot the whole game, did we win that more than 1-0?
It's difficult to know. I mean, I do agree that I don't think Jose Mourinho necessarily set us up to go and kind of park the bus. I do agree with that. But then when you look at kind of the quality we have on the pitch, you feel as though we should have more than enough to have that plan to go forward. So I think it also does come down to the plan as well. We should have the plan to be able to get the ball off Fulham, because that's, I think someone pointed out to me on Twitter, we just looked like a side that couldn't get the ball off them. But, you know, there is more than enough quality in that side to do that. So, you know, maybe it does also come down to planning from the manager and having an idea of how to go forward. So I think as well, you do have to put some sort of criticism on Jose, not necessarily saying again.
Yeah, it's a tactical thing, wasn't it? That's what I was saying, Jamie. Like, you know, we could see that he moved another body, right? Scott Parker into midfield. It made a massive difference. Mm. He put Lookman on the left-hand side. It's causing all sorts of problems. What did we do to counter that? Now, what did we do to nullify that? This is what everyone talks about. Jose nullifies. But what did we do to change that? The momentum of the game, what happened in the second half, it's clear for everybody to see. We dropped off another 10 yards again. We started like, boop, boop, boop. Here comes a bus reversing into place. And we put pressure on ourselves. It was you know, and it made, and to be fair to Fulham, I'm not, I'm not having a go. I'm not saying Fulham are rubbish, by the way. They pressed high. They had more energy. And I felt that that was the key thing. Look, let's not labour the point, I don't think. But I think at the end of the day, we have got out of jail, as John said. You know, got the job done. But I'm a little bit disappointed that we couldn't keep up that momentum in not going there and battering them, but going there and having more possession than them, more passes in them, and at least 5 or 6 attempts on target would have been a better show. And if we'd come away 1-0, still, I'd have been a lot happier. I think that's very happy with the result, but the performance, now we go back into a situation against Palace a little bit on the back foot, don't you? As a fan, and maybe the players don't, but now you start going, oh. And I would just want to echo the point you said right at the beginning, Jamie. Oh my word, how the fullbacks are different. I mean, with Aurier and Reguilon in that team, it is a very different proposition.
Yeah, absolutely. John, coming to you, and on 17 minutes, you would have had your mortgage on Kane to bury that header, wouldn't you? It was just like, as soon as it come in, left his edge, you're thinking, oh, come on, here it is. And he just a little bit luck out there, wasn't it, with Kane. And but overall, Kane and Son this evening, I don't know, they're looking a little bit leggy. Or do you think Fulham just done a job on them tonight?
Yeah, I think it was a mixture of the two. You know, I think it was a mixture of the two. I think, as I said earlier, I thought Fulham defensively were very good. But yeah, the players do look tired. And we've got to remember, we've played so many extra games in these cup competitions. They are adding up now, all these extra fixtures. And the fact that Vinicius basically isn't trusted to deputise in serious games for either of those two players. So it leaves us in a bit of a predicament. But look, the games are coming thick and fast. Hopefully the players have tomorrow off, a little light training session Saturday, and then we go into it, at least this Sunday night for once. Normally these organisers or TV organisers love slotting us into that 12 o'clock on a Sunday or as early as possible, you know. So for once we're banging the evening, which is good. And yeah, it's going to be a big game. You know, have Palace played tonight? Are they playing this week? I don't know. Have they had a complete free week? Does anyone know?
I'd have to check. Lee, have you got any news on
that?
Come
on, Blue Book. What's the Blue Book saying?
The Blue Book's normally got everything in it.
They had a goalless draw with Man United yesterday.
It was a 0-0 draw last night.
I'll beat the Blue Book. I'll beat the Blue Book to it.
Jamie had the Blue Book out. There you go.
A game so forgettable that we forgot it.
Yeah, it was foggy. I don't even think anyone saw it last night because it was so foggy, wasn't it? Did you see it? It was amazing.
I mean, positively, that probably took quite a lot out of them, both mentally and physically, you know, going against United for 90 minutes, 93 minutes or whatever. So that's probably a good sign. But yeah, moving on to tonight, you know, Kane, as you said, he would always bury that header. And it's just the high standards we've got of him. We expect that going in every time. And that would have killed the game, basically. I've always felt at 2-0, Shag was putting everything to bed tonight. But that didn't quite happen. So, you know, Kane will score next
Sweet,
time.
Sweet, look at that. Shag love putting that, everything John, to bed. Get in now.
I didn't pie that joke off at all. I was just basking in the glory of it for a minute. It was marvellous. Shoehorned in wonderfully. Oh, great stuff. Jamie, come to you and I'll give you the honours of talking us through Spurs' goal, which looked absolutely fantastic till we found out it was a deflection, which took a little bit of a shine off of it. But the lead-up play to it was quite sumptuous, and that's what we was hoping to see from that front four, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was really nice build-up play, and that was really pleasing. I think, you know, maybe sometimes there's certainly been question marks over kind of our build-up play, and you know, certainly in that first half against West Ham, I thought we were quite disappointing going forward. But you know, we are starting to show signs that there is a real plan there. So I think the build-up play, as you said, it was really nice. And then Dele Alli, I think it was a typical Dele Alli goal. It was kind of like a nice flick. Again, not thinking what he's doing, not overthinking things and just confidence. So that was really nice to kind of see Dele Alli nearly get on the score sheet. But he obviously played a very big part in that goal. And I'm sure we'll see more of him. It's, you know, it's been really, I think that for me is all that Dele Alli needs. I think I said it months and months ago on the Love Sports shows that we used to do. But Dele Alli, it was always about confidence and he just needed that big moment. Obviously, he's had a couple of big moments over the last couple of weeks. He obviously had that brilliant overhead kick he scored in the Europa League. I think he got a couple of assists as well. So he, you know, he's getting that confidence back. And again, we saw that tonight with that little flick that he had for the goal. So that's really, really pleasing to see him coming back in the form. But yeah, really nice goal. Yeah, obviously just a shame we couldn't kind of follow up on that. But I'm really, really pleased that for Delhi to kind of really be involved in a goal like that. And I'm sure over the coming weeks, we'll see more as Dele Alli as he gets fitter. So, yeah, really excited.
John, coming round to you, and it sounds like that peace is finally breaking out at Camp Spurs between Mourinho and Dele. Pre-match, BT done a little interview with Jose Mourinho and spoke about Dele and him starting tonight. And Mourinho was waxing lyrical about Dele's attitude in training and how much he's knuckling down and really trying and putting it in, which is great to hear and great to see. And going into these last 12 games, because it's almost like seasons are won and lost in them last 10, 12 games, aren't they? You really, really need to steer the ship. So maybe the stars are aligning now and a happy camp and a winning camp. But that was good to see and good to hear regarding Dele.
Yeah, delighted actually to have him back in the fold. It was seemed like an insane situation that we were just voluntarily leaving out a player that only 18 months ago was worth 150 million, you know. So hopefully for himself, he's got the momentum now to think to himself, look, I'm a better footballer than Mason Mount, than James Maddison. I want to go to the Euros with England. I want to get my place in this Tottenham team and I want to prove that I deserve to go. That's down to him. Dele is capable of doing that. He can put in a run now of 8, 9, 10 very good games towards the end of the season, hopefully lead us to cup glory, hopefully lead us to advancing in the Europa League. And he can put himself bang in the shop of going to the Euros with England because he deserves that. The ability's there. And if he puts the application, he'll deserve that. So, yeah, I'm really pleased he's back involved. It gives us a fantastic option. Obviously, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like we can ever rely on Lo Celso being fit or available for selection. I believe now, off the top of my head, that's 21 consecutive matches he's been unavailable for. And I know Mourinho in the press has said yesterday it's going to be 2 or 3 more weeks, although he is doing some training at the moment. So I'm not really sure what that's about. But we need Dele Alli, you know. Now that Ndombele is dropping deeper in this number 6 role alongside Højbjerg on number 8, we need an advanced central attacking midfielder to add goals to our team as well. And, you know, it's a bit unfortunate that the goal will go down as an own goal tonight because it was going in anyway from Dele and he would have been good for his confidence. But, yeah, I'm delighted he's back involved. Really important player for us.
Good stuff. Lee, coming round to you. And maybe 2-3 weeks ago, a month ago, we was one eye on this cup final coming up. I know we're a little bit going off a tributary off the main river of the show here, but it's worth maybe checking back and having a look at. We was all really, as a fan base, thinking to ourselves, oh, we really have no hope against Man City in this League Cup final. But I'm just beginning to see things now, which makes me think, you know what? It's a one-off game, puncher's chance, a little bit of confidence. So should Spurs fans be a little bit more confident with that cup final looming?
Absolutely. And I think if with all the stick that Jose's taken from us on the panel, from the listeners, from, you know, and all the praise he's given him, well, it's probably a 50-50 balance. He wins finals. That's what he does. That's what he's born to do. It's what he's done throughout his career. So I'm not saying Pep don't, by the way, for at Lee McQueen and at me going, oh, but Pep does as well. Like, I get that. but that's what Jose's been here to do, that's what he's been brought in to do, and that's what he does. So we're in the final. It's a one-off game. And, you know, yeah, I think so. I think that when I look at the season of a whole, it's such a weird season. I mean, you know, you've got Chelsea Football Club that have spent £230 million in the transfer window, right? They've sacked their manager. I think there were 6 points or 5 points behind Tottenham at the time. They sacked their manager. They've got in Thomas Tuchel, who hasn't lost a game, right? For them since he's been in charge. Yet they sit 2 points above us in the league, and we've had an absolute woeful last what six weeks.
Yeah,
woeful. Like, we've been awful. Yet we're 2 points behind Chelsea. It's utterly mental this season. You've got Liverpool who steamrolled the crazy train, rolled everybody last year. And yeah, they've lost Van Dijk, and fair enough, and all the centre-back pairings and changes and this, that and the other that they've had to do. They've had their problems for sure, but we're 1 point behind them. Like, do you know what I mean? I know they've had a bad season or whatever. You look at Leicester, who are flying. Everyone's like, yeah, they're amazing. If we win our game now, we're 5 points off of Leicester, who've got form in blowing it like they did last year. So I just think that there should be a little bit more optimism. I mean, looking at the performance tonight, you wouldn't want to play like that against Man City because you'll get absolutely torn a new one like we did a few weeks ago. But I do think that there is a little bit of optimism there for the one-off game. I think that I think there's a lot of us that fancy ourselves to go, if not all the way, certainly to get to the final in the Europa League as well. There's a lot of us that fancy that. And you know, maybe it's more hope than expectation. But like I've always said, it's the hope that kills you and it's the hope that keeps you at the end of the day. So you know, I think that when you look at the table now, as John said, and you look at the points accumulation, then you said a couple of pods ago, Crackers, you know, 42 points up for grabs. Well, we've grabbed six of them. All right, so now there's 36 points up for grabs, but you know, we're on a roll. Like, you know, we was on 36 with 42 up for grabs, we're now on 42 with 36 up for grabs. You know, next up, Crystal Palace, as Jason always says, next game. I think the key thing for me is the games that we've got around that cup final. That is going to be crucial. And it's the same with Man City. If we're in the Europa League, whatever it might be at that point, I think it might be the quarters, the second round of the quarterfinals, the second leg, and they're being the second leg of the quarterfinals of the Champions League, or even the semis by that point, because they're a round ahead of us, and they're in it, what are they going to, if you have to prioritise, what are they going to prioritise? Now, the thing is with City, they've got such an amazing squad, strength and depth and all that sort of stuff. We know that and they're amazing. But it only takes them to be 1-0 down or whatever from the first leg, and then the Carabao Cup final against us. They're going to rest players. They're going to not be as concentrated because they want to win that Champions League. That's the only trophy that they haven't won. Like he's won the treble, isn't he? He won the domestic treble. He's done, you know, the league. He's done the 100 points. He's done everything. Geez, he's amazing. But they want that Champions League. And That I think may play a part. Do you get what I'm saying, Crackers? That the fixtures coming in and around where that is. I mean,
Exactly.
Thank goodness that they did move it. I mean, if that was the end of February, we would have been cup finalists, and we'd have all been buying that paraphernalia that the club would keep punting out. Cup finalists, Carabao Cup finalists.
Do you know what? Listen, I'm going to stick up for Tottenham Hotspur here, because every club does that. They all make this paraphernalia. They all make key rings and t-shirts and making a final. Yeah,
I'll be honest, I didn't see one in the Champions League final. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't do it, but I did not see on social media or anywhere a Champions League finalist mug. I didn't see it.
Oh yeah, I don't have one of them. I definitely haven't got one of them.
We're talking about clubs.
Do love to hit us with that stick, don't they? Oh, look what you're making here. But everyone makes it. Why pick on us?
Crackers.
I went on Man City's website. I did an interview with Talk Sport, and I saw them going at that just before the show started. And quickly went and did a bit of research on Man City's website. They'd been selling final.
Never mind finals, boys. West Ham United were knocking out curtains, dishwashers, and microwaves. We're 9 points above Tottenham. You're only three now, and we're coming for you.
Yes, John Venom, get involved.
John's come out swinging. He's like Partridge when he had the turkey on his wrist, didn't he, in the Christmas special. John's, I'm Andy. John's out swinging.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Listen, we digress. Before we go for our little half-time break, I've got to come to this issue. Now, this is something that really sticks in my craw here. And the Kane foul, supposedly, which got checked and then was no penalty. So you have to say, taking your Spurs hat off, if that's not a foul, that's then a dive, isn't it? But Kane doesn't get booked. Tell us how you see that, because like I said, if it's not a foul and not a pen, surely it's a booking for Kane for diving. Is it not?
Yeah, the rules require, you know, they're slightly strange, aren't they? Because obviously, what happens if you just trip over in the box and it's not a foul or it's not a pen, you know? That can happen sometimes. But for me, that one tonight was actually a stonewall penalty. Kane, lovely ball by Ndombele. Kane is going to take one touch of his left foot and then bang with his right foot, bottom corner. And he's been clipped from behind and he's lost balance and gone over. It's a pen. I was quite disappointed it wasn't given, actually, especially with VAR having the opportunity to have another look at it in slow motion. To me, it was a penalty tonight. So I'm very disappointed that wasn't given.
No, absolutely. And weirdly, now, I don't know if anybody else saw this, but with the replays of that, they showed an angle, and I think it quite clearly showed Kane getting caught Lee. But when they sort of was going back with the VAR view of it, I take it that is VAR's view that they're showing, but they never showed one of the angles that BT had. They showed two different angles, which seemed to be from a million miles away. The cameras were all over the place anyway there tonight.
Cameras were weird, weren't they, tonight? They were weird tonight, weren't they? It must be because they're building their stand and they couldn't have the camera on that other side or something. It's very, very strange. Was it a stonewaller? Well, I absolutely agree with you, Crackers. If it ain't, and VAR have said it's no penalty, he has to get booked for diving. Because if he's gone down because he's felt something on his leg, it means he's been touched. If he's been touched and the geezer ain't got nowhere near the ball, which he hadn't, it's a penalty. So it's very, very difficult. I actually couldn't see on the like you're right, on that VAR camera angle, whether or not he actually hit his leg or not. You almost needed to kind of turn the angle a little bit to that one side to see if there was actual contact. I don't think, look, maybe this is with my Tottenham bias hat on rather than it being off. I don't think Kane dives personally, and I don't think he goes down there if he don't feel a knock. Didn't fit. It's not like a Mo Salah, is it? That just goes down like he thinks it's going to come. But look, maybe I'm wrong. But I think you're spot on. If he didn't get touched and VAR say no, that weren't a penalty, he has to get booked for diving, doesn't he? 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you actually look at the replay of it, Kane's either the greatest diver the game has ever seen because he gets it to the millisecond going over when the leg comes in. Because normally when there's a dive, there's that split second, that tiny millisecond gap of the leg there and the player realising and then taking the dive tumble. But it doesn't. It was just a bizarre call, and it just seemed for a bizarre angle as well. But I'm glad everyone sees it as black and white like that. Why he hasn't been booked then, I really don't know. But hey. Crazy old season, crazy train, isn't it, Lee?
Yeah, absolute crazy train. It is a crazy train of a season. That's the thing. That's what I was saying to you guys before. You know, when you look at the VAR decision, I'm sure we'll get to it, on their handball, not being funny, if that goes against your team, you are so, so disappointed. I mean, that's why Fulham deserves something tonight. I mean, just look at the VAR decision on... I mean, it has hit his hand, right? But he ain't put his hand out anywhere. It's so difficult. The rules need, I don't know. I'm not saying that it's not VAR's fault. VAR's just going by the rules. The rules need to be have a look at, or we need to understand them more, because I thought that was harsh.
Absolutely. Okay, listen, we're going to take a little break here. Don't forget, we're across all the social medias on Twitter. Help me out here, chaps. I'm an old man. Social medias is a bit of a thing for me. Twitter at Last Word on Spurs. Facebook, we're on there as well. Instagram, we're on now. Kind of on Facebook, yeah, but we're on Instagram. And Clubhouse as well now. And Clubhouse, get that. Clubhouse. Come and look us up on social media and across all those handles. As I say, taking a break, don't go anywhere. We'll be back in the second half.
Phoenix 51 is a powerful employee technology enabling organizations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organizations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train, and retain them. Phoenix 51, powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
Welcome back. Last word on Spurs. We've been looking at Fulham 0, Tottenham 1, a game, of course, which was never in doubt. Never in doubt, Mr. McQueen, was it? Never in doubt, mate.
I was not worried at all. My fingers are completely intact with nails.
All right, so we go in that first half 1-0 up, come out second half, and we're thinking, okay, yeah, you know, not spectacular, but job done, professional, etc., etc. Second half, Different story, different story. And as we touched on already, the extra body in midfield seemed to make all that difference. But I'll come to you first, Jamie. And do you think something said in the dressing room with a change of tactics, or do you think Fulham just came out with another 20, 30% extra? It just seemed... It really was a game of two halves, wasn't it?
I thought it was really disappointing, kind of the way that we did sit back. Maybe was it intentional? I don't think it was, because I think we've seen when we have intentionally sat back, it just hasn't worked. So, maybe there was, as John said, we have played a huge amount of games. We've played a lot more games than Fulham now. So maybe fatigue is starting to play some sort of part. I think, you saw that maybe with the likes of Gareth Bale and Dele Alli just coming back from injury. Obviously played on the weekend as well, so maybe there was some sort of fatigue in the legs, but it was a disappointing performance. You do feel as though the quality we had on the pitch, we should have had enough quality to go at Fulham and go again. I don't necessarily think it was kind of the plan to sit back. I think it was just that maybe we didn't have the plan of what to do when we got the ball, and that was obviously very disappointing. So very disappointing second half. I thought there were a number of disappointing performances. I mean, Matt Doherty tonight was a very disappointing player. I thought he had a very poor game, which is a shame. And he's continuing to struggle. But he wasn't just him. I mean, there was a number of players that weren't quite up to scratch tonight. So, especially in that second half. But yeah, obviously a very difficult second half for sure.
Lee, coming round to you and Fulham knocking at the door in that second half. And my notes here, which makes quite interesting reading, 59 minutes in, and I've put excellent from Sanchez, and he's shepherded a ball and he's put in a last-ditch tackle. And like the Burnley game, tonight he was really effective. But then on 61 minutes, thankfully, that Fulham goal disallowed. But Sanchez's body shape with that clearance, the ball's dropped to him and... It was like an unexploded bomb to him, wasn't it? He could have taken a touch. He could have got his balance more right. But he just sort of made a weird body shape swing at it and kept the danger on.
He did. And, I totally agree with that. I thought he was playing right up until them points. And then there was another bit where he, to be fair to him, he cleared it out when Lloris was shouting at him. And then there's a bit, and I was thinking, oh, God, now all of a sudden they're like not having this communication thing going on with each other. But I think it was indicative of how we played in the second half completely as a team. We dropped back 10, 15 yards. The buses started coming in, as we talked about before. It wasn't a Jose thing. There's no way Jose said to them at half-time, defend this 1-0 lead. He wouldn't and didn't say that. Otherwise, he'd have made them changes earlier. He brought on Moura and Sissoko for Dele and Bale because they were fatigued. It was no other reason. It wasn't to like shore it up or anything like that. The Sissoko substitution for me was because it took him that long to change where they put an extra body in midfield. But Doherty, I don't want to... I mean, I'm sorry to like call out players, but he is woeful. I mean, the cross that he had in the first half, it was, we had Son, Kane and Bale all in the box ready for amazing cross from Doherty. He stuck it in row Z. I was just so disappointed. All that to do was float it to the back post. It's a free header. And you just think, all right, so you're not in the team to do that. Let's defend then. He kept chucking in so tight. And maybe that is a tactical thing, to be fair, but he kept tucking in so tight that Lookman just had the whole of the park in front of him. He could just go and do whatever he wanted to do. And it was just bringing and making sure that Bale at the time, and then obviously Moura, was so far deep trying to defend that space that Doherty was leaving. And I just felt that it felt a little bit lopsided. Do you get what I mean, crackers and listeners? I just felt what it needed in the second half is almost what Bale brought in the West Ham game, that somebody to get on a ball and have a scruffle in the neck and say, lads, come on, let's push on. And I just felt that we've been like that a lot of the time. And I actually wrote down in the famous blue book, I actually put a note in when we first started and said, and it's going to sound harsh, right? But Son and Kane, I felt they were distant. I wrote that down, distant, because they weren't poor, but they were distant in the second half. Like they almost went missing. And it's kind of like, why? You know, they kept... I like to see Bale. When Bale was on the pitch, I like to see Bale cut in, drop into almost like a number 10 as well. He didn't do that enough for me tonight. I think Son and Kane were kind of... Kane was dropping back into that space, which was quite in a number 10 role, which meant Dele was having to go wider. And, you know, I think Dele, out of the front four, if I'm honest, I thought Dele played with energy, with verve and that type of stuff. And I just felt that in the second half, you know, you've got Lucas Moura with energy and whatever, you know, but he come on and they ended up defending. I just... Why, lads, and listeners as well, obviously, but why couldn't we get the ball back? Like in the second half, why could we not get our foot on the ball and just pass it around? Because I suppose you've got to give Fulham credit, right? They pressed us really hard and they made it difficult for us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we just couldn't string five passes together, could we? Just could not put... And I think you're right. I think there's some credit needs giving to Fulham there. A little bit of both, I think. I think you're right, Lee. I think we dropped off in energy and they picked up. And I think it was just a mix of the two, but staying with Doherty, Doherty, however you want to potato, potato it. John, I'll come round to you. And that's not the player we bought from Wolves, is it? It's just, it really isn't. What's your take on him and what do you think's happening?
So I've been left hugely disappointed. He was one of the signings I really wanted this summer. He ticked all the boxes, you know, he was homegrown, Premier League experience. Mourinho had gone on record in the Amazon documentary ahead of us playing Wolves as name-checking him as one of their main targets. You know, he said, Doherty, super aggressive player, and he was telling all the players this. And I was so excited when we got him. I thought this guy was going to be a huge upgrade on Serge Aurier. But actually, he's turned out to be woeful. I don't want to go too harsh on someone that's a current employee of the club that we all love, but he's been so, so disappointing for the money. He's 28 or 29 already. We're not going to see any resale value on him. And he's just not the same player that he was for Wolves. I appreciate they play in a slightly different system, but I don't really get this huge intricacy difference between playing as a right wing back or a right back. You know, if you're a good right back or right wing back, you should really be able to do both, if you ask me. And the fact that it's just a caveat excuse that, oh, at Wolves, they played in some different system. So that makes up for why he's having to train to do something new at Tottenham. I don't really think that's the same, you know. I've been left hugely disappointed with him. He's been our most underperforming signing of the summer, no doubt about that. And I'd probably look to move him on this summer. I don't see a point in keeping him around. You know, I know some people say, oh, players need time to settle at a new club. Whatever. He's already nearly 29. He's been in the Premier League for multiple years in English football for always. This isn't a signing like Ndombele or whoever else who takes time to acclimatise to a new language, new culture, new setup, new club. This is a guy that knows, he'll know a lot of those players already. It couldn't have probably been made any easier for him settling in at Tottenham. I understand he shares an agent with Mourinho as well. So there's a lot of things there and it just hasn't worked out at all. It's been really disappointing and he's actually looks the worst of our four fullbacks, three of which, you know, apart from Reguilón, I've replaced all of. So it's really disappointing and yeah, you know, he just needed to come in tonight. Maybe, as I said earlier, they wanted to rest Aurier ahead of a big ask going up against Zaha or Townsend or Eze or whoever it's going to be on the weekend. So that's probably what it was.
Do you think, John and Crackers, Jamie, the listeners as well, do you think that it's a similar situation with Winks, whereby you don't really know what his role is? Like, with Winks, right, we criticise him, whatever, but with Winks, is he a holding midfielder? Is he a number eight? Is he a goal scorer? You know, is he any of them things? And everyone will go, no, he ain't any of them things. Is that the same with Doherty? Is he a right back or is he a right wing back? What is his job here in the team? Because with Wolves, he had it absolutely nailed on. And he would do darting runs into that box from the right-hand side. He would do 1-2s with the winger that would invert in. He would score goals. He was powerful in the air. And he's none of them things in this football club. Is it because he's playing as a right-back? And that's what I'm saying. He was tucking in today, almost like a right-sided centre-back.
We used to do something similar with Ben Davies when we had Aurier in the team under Jose's first year. We did that with Davies, didn't we? He tucked in as an extra sort of centre-half. And we were all thinking, well, what's the point of that? And now he's doing it with Doherty. And I don't see the point of it. And as I said earlier, I don't really buy this thing of, oh, he's a right-wing back or right-back. It's the same thing to me. You know, do both. You can play in football now. He's coming up to 30.
That's what I mean. I do agree with that. I just feel like there's something not right there. You make some brilliant points. The points are... He was really good last year.
Yeah, he was really good. I did a poll. We love a poll. Look, I did a poll. do you want to sign Matt Doherty? About 9,000 people were 100% yes. Delighted we got him over the other targets at the time. Max Ahrens, Atal at Lille, some of the other, Zeki Selic, whoever he was called. Loads of right-backs, really. Everyone wanted Doherty. Proven in the Premier League. Manager liked him. Slot straight in for us. Be our first choice. He's been awful. And when he plays, he's just like a clogger. He looks so average. Like, these humps. Humps forward to no one in particular. Lose possession.
Today, he gave the ball away from a throw-in. Like, he literally just he'd done a throw-in and just gave it to the other player. And it was it was almost like, do you know what, Fulham? Have a go if you fancy it. And it's just like, come on, guys. This is Premier League.
But he does that same sort of hoosh kick every time, doesn't he? Like the John Smith advert, wherever it was. You know that big lad that does the kick in the air?
Have it.
It's like that. I'm bored of it, mate.
Do you know, I think Dyer, Doherty, Winks, they all seem to fall into this not quite sure what their role is, a bit 6 out of 10 at everything. And I just don't think we can carry players like that. It's just they suit the bit flotsam and jetsam, isn't they, with their roles and what they do.
Yeah. The thing is, he gave their fullback nothing to think about the other way, and nor did Ben Davis today. So when John, you were talking about earlier in the season, when Joseph first came and he wanted to play Davis as a whole, like somebody to tuck in and Aurier bomb on. So he didn't, two things. One, he didn't trust Aurier as a defender. And two, he wanted to give that cover. So it was like lopsided, like totally that. If he's playing that tonight, then Ben Davis needs to go forward, but he didn't go forward either. Do you know what I mean? So we had two fullbacks today, didn't go forward at all, and it changed the pattern of our play. When the centre-backs were picking it up, way too deep, by the way, but when our centre-backs were picking it up and they're kind of just in front of their 18-yard box and they're looking up, there's nowhere to go because their fullbacks are pushing on ours because ours ain't going past them. Does that make sense? And that for me, tactically, was where we needed to change it or mix it up a bit.
I thought against Burnley that they were such an important part of the win. I think, you know, the way they managed to get forward and offer an outlet, Reguilon and Aurier, was really important for us. I thought, you know, we just looked so much better. We had more attacking players getting forward. And obviously we know Reguilon and Sergio Aurier, they obviously have that quality going forward. But, you know, tonight there was absolutely none of that. And maybe it kind of coincides with a poor performance going forward. So, again, it just comes back down to that point. It is very disappointing.
Can I ask you guys, you know, what would you do with Doherty this summer? Would you look to move him on or would you give him more time?
No, absolutely. I think you're right as well. You know, you look at his age, he's not a long-term player that you kind of want to, you know, maybe will he develop? He's a guy who's been in the Premier League for a very long time. So there's not going to be, you know, will he come good eventually? He should be good now. He should be hitting the ground running. You know, Lee, obviously you made all those points in the summer about wanting to bring in Premier League, proven players.
100%.
Ground running. So there's no.
I wanted Pereira to be fair.
But
I did think Doherty when we were linked with him and for the money, 13 million, whatever. Yeah. I thought that is a decent bit of business.
That was the point,
like you said, 9,000 people on a poll, John. Everyone fancied him. Everyone wanted him. Is it because he's an Arsenal fan and he's just coming to like scupper? Like Joe says, he's a Chelsea fan, really. So he's going to scupper us, really.
He very nearly turned in at the end, didn't he?
Arsenal's like, you know, he should have scored. To be fair to Doherty, he should have scored that own goal. I was disappointed for him that it didn't go in.
Couldn't even do that.
I mean, he couldn't even stick it in his own net. No, it was good defending in the end. No, I mean, I know. All jokes aside, and I don't want to call players out. Like, he wears a shirt and I back him up. I just feel for the guy because, you know, when you see him on the training ground, you see some of the pictures down at Hotspur Way, and like he's like doing the basketball and playing. It feels like there's something going on there, like in terms of good camaraderie and stuff. But a clogger. It's perfect. It's a perfect explanation for him, John. He's a clogger. It's just you don't know what he's going to do. He's just going to. Well, I mean, to me, tonight summed up that cross. I'm thinking, all you got to do here, mate, is stick it at the back post and we are going, it's a goal. And he stuck it in Rose Ed. And you just think, my word. And for anyone that's listening that knows me from my younger years, you know, I used to play football, and they'll be laughing right now. That's exactly the sort of thing that I would have done. Like, not being funny. Like, just get in a good position just goes wayward. And you can't be doing that in the Premier League.
No, exactly. Coming round to more positive vibes from tonight's game. Lamella coming on. And he was lively, wasn't he, Jamie? He was lively. He had a little trick. And he gave us our only chance of the second half on the 82nd minute when he put Kane through. And but he looked okay tonight. He looks like he's got a little bit something back about him until his next injury, of course. But he was positive tonight.
Now, Lamella's often a guy who does come off the bench and can have a positive impact. You know, he's done that for a number of years for us. I mean, one that specifically stands out for me was many years ago against Manchester City, where he teed up Eriksen for the winner. And that's kind of, he does very well with coming off the bench and having some sort of impact. Obviously, the big problem with Lamella is consistency. He's just always struggled to kind of get a run of games where he is good. Fortunately for us at the moment, he is on a good run and he does offer something off the bench. But, you know, I want to see it consistently. I want him to see it doing it every single game, coming off the bench and making an impact or starting. You know, he's probably maybe merited a place in the starting lineup. Maybe, you know, you look at kind of who we have. Maybe, you know, you could certainly question maybe he doesn't, maybe he does. But, you know, he's on a good run at the moment. And he does have, he had a pleasing impact off the bench today. But I want to see it consistently from
Very much so. It'd be remiss of me not to touch a little bit more on Fulham's disallowed goal. John, I'll come to you. And that's not a handball, is it, really? In the spirit of football, I know in the new laws, that wasn't a handball. And we really have got out of jail there, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. But I also have no sympathy. You know, I've seen Tottenham suffer multiple times with these sort of inaccuracies. And then, lo and behold, the rule always changes after it directly affects us. Happened with Newcastle this season, where Andy Carroll was shamelessly throwing himself around in the box until he won a penalty, basically. And they equalised from that. And then the rule was suddenly changed. Happened in the Champions League final right in front of my eyes. So I've got zero sympathy for other clubs. You know, shit happens, basically. Move on. Sorry, we don't make the rules.
Guys, listeners, I'm loving John tonight. He's put some car keys in between his fingers, clenched his fist, and he is out swinging tonight. He's having it. Good for you, John. Jamie, for you, that we got away with one there, didn't we? I'll put the same thing to you. That's not a handball, is it?
No, I'll definitely go for a different approach to John. I mean, I do feel a bit sorry for Fulham, and it is, you know, it's disgusting when those sort of decisions go against you. I mean, I think I remember being at a game last year. It was possibly Sheffield United when, you know, Sheffield United, they had a big moment. I think they scored. And then you're like, well, then they got disallowed goal for the most, I can't remember the exact decision, but it just feels sickening, even, you know, when it is against you. And tonight, that decision was just shocking. You know, his arms are right by his side. And that's the problem. I don't think the fans, none of the fans even know what the handball rule is. I'm sure they've changed it this year, even this season, during the season. So, yeah, shocking decision. I mean, obviously, it is the right decision according to the laws, but the laws desperately need to change because it should not have been a handball.
BT commentators were saying that there is yet another change apparently scheduled for the end of the season. And De Bruyne had done an interview as well, and he said, I just don't know what the laws are now. I just don't understand them. I don't know where we are with them. And that's just, it's just poor. It's just poor all round. It kills the vibe and the spirit of the game. So, but, you know, we are where we are. So, listen, before we go and take a break to hear the previews for the upcoming Palace game, you know, I always like to throw a little question in and get your thoughts from the panel. And tonight's no exception. Now, I really like the way Fulham played tonight. I like the way Scott Parker gets them playing. I like what they try to do, but a little lack of quality in now to execute what they do. Now, you may see where I'm going here. If you was to maybe give Scott Parker's Spurs players, who undoubtedly are of a better quality than Fulham's, Scott Parker, first Spurs manager since Bill Nick to win the Premier League. What are you saying? The question I put was template Scott Parker's tactics and the way they play with Spurs players. I think he's a Spurs manager in the making. Lee, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think John pointed out earlier, didn't he, that not only Scott Parker there, but all of the backroom staff that he's got there all know the club really well at Tottenham, done all of the youth teams and the academy process and all that sort of stuff at Spurs before. He won the, did he write, was it the PFA players or the writers player, whichever one it was, he won when he was at Tottenham. Used to love his pirouettes, used to always do a nice little pirouette, didn't he, in the middle of the park, old Scotty Parker. I think he's also, this is out of the blue books, if this is epic, I think he's also the guy that's played for the most London clubs as well. He's played for like most of them, and he's played for Charlton, he's played for West Ham, he's played for Chelsea, he's played for Spurs, played for Fulham. Happy days.
So, tell you what, if he drops out of management, he could be a London cabbie, couldn't he? He could have a green badge straight away. Every part of London.
He's on the tubes as well, crackers, you get me? So is he in the making? I mean, I think that, you know, when you look at the route of Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, you know, Mikel Arteta's, you probably look at Scott Parker and go, yeah, you know, I saw, I don't know if most people hopefully would have seen it from Spurs TV, but Ledley King's interview after the Burnley win. And I thought, you know, I just looked at him and thought, wow, imagine if this King become the manager as well. Our football club, it'll be amazing. So he's on a path to kind of learning. I think Scott's obviously a little bit ahead of him in terms of he's managing a Premier League club already. But I also think he's a little bit early as well, crackers, to be fair. So, you know, for all the stick I've given Mourinho as well, and I've given him, you know, a bit tonight as well with a tactical bit and, you know, the low block stuff, I'm still probably not ready to jump into a kind of a real fresh unknown manager when we haven't won anything. That's the problem. If Jose comes in, if he wins us some stuff, some nice little shiny bits that we all want, if he does that, then yeah, you know, the change of the guard, so to speak, might be a Scotty Parker. But I'd rather a Nagelsmann, if I'm honest.
Let me just say that this isn't a Mourinho out by a surreptitious...
I wasn't saying it was. It's just you asking
it's
a question.
It's just for one of those... When Mourinho retires after winning us the Champions League and the league, and, you know, he decides to... I'm going down that route before you start atting me on social media saying, I see what you was doing, crackers. So, Jamie, for you, Scotty Parker at Spurs?
Oh, well, look, I think it's one definitely for the future. I wouldn't consider it now. And again, I look at that Fulham side and I like a lot of those players in that team. I think they actually have a very good team and they've obviously had a kind of a problem with turning draws into wins. So he's got a lot to kind of learn in management. And I'm sure he'll spend, you know, lots of time maybe at Fulham. I think that's kind of the right club for him at the moment. But the Spurs, I wouldn't mind seeing him maybe one day as the manager, but I think he's got lots more to prove still and lots to learn. So maybe in the future, but certainly not now.
Seeing as John's being very boisterous tonight and very upfront, John, I'm going to give you an awful hospital ball question here.
I was hoping Ledley Scott King Parker.
Or Scotty Parker. Ledley King or Scotty Parker. Oh,
it's a tough one. I'll tell you why it's a tough one. All the reasons I was going to answer for Scott Parker, actually, is that I've actually had the pleasure of talking to him a couple of times down at Hotspur Way when he was managing the under-18s. All the youth players at Tottenham love Scotty Parker, right? So he's already very much respected and well in with Troy Parrott, Dennis Durkin, Harvey White, Oliver Skip. He was their manager for a year in probably their most successful season for about 10 years. We lost one game the whole season and ended up finishing second in the under-18s that year. They loved Scott Parker. The players felt a real rapport with him, somebody they could actually look up to. And he only played for the club, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. You're not talking about some guy that played in an era before their time. They will have known him from the TV as Scott Parker that played for Tottenham and then as their coach in the under-18s. So he was very, very highly respected. I know Ledley knows all the boys as well, especially now with the likes of Alfie Devine, Dane Scarlett training with the first team and working with Ledley King. And Ledley King sometimes coaching the younger level. So let's sit on the fence and say both of them, job share.
great answer. Well, you know what? I've had the pleasure of sitting in a car to Wales and back with Ledley King when I was doing Legends Nights. And do you know, I always thought Ledley was a very, very quiet, very unassuming person. But getting to know him on sort of 8 hours in a car, 4 hours each way, speaks very well, you know. He talks very well. He knows the game really well. And I think there's another one. in the making. Definitely Ledley. He's got something about him. He's very, very inspiring to listen to, despite what his public perception might be.
I'll tell you what, Rich, though, that 8 hours to Wales was nothing for Ledley. Do you remember when he was the club ambassador and every 5 minutes they were sending him off to Hong Kong and Singapore and you know, AIA's banquet, Easter meeting, he was there and all that sort of stuff. So poor Ledley, I'm delighted he's got a club, a job, you know, working for the club now, only in Enfield, Otswell Way, instead of going off to South China every 5 minutes.
Good stuff. Oh, well, listen, there's a couple of options a bit further down the line. Yeah, it's interesting. Be interesting to see how their careers pan out, very much so. Listen, we're going to take another little break and bring you some preview stuff for the upcoming Palace game. So give that a listen and we'll be back very soon with the panel's thoughts on the upcoming game this weekend, Tottenham versus Palace. Don't go anywhere.
Toby, well done. I think that's a definition of a hard-fought win, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, of course, we have to be honest and say we have to play better. But at the end, it's a away game in the Premier League, so it's never going to be easy. I think today we showed character. You know, it's easy to show character when you're 3-0 up. Or if you're 1-0 up, and especially second half when they had just the better of the game, I think we have to dig in and get 3 points, and very important 3 points today.
Having said that, we did look dangerous in the first half when we got ourselves ahead and did great chances, didn't we?
Yeah, I think if we could, of course, it's always better to score a second, but I think we have to improve in when we have the ball, but you have to give credits to them as well. They have a good team, they play good football, but I think we didn't give a lot away. I think, very hard fight today and a good clean sheet.
Well, they're five unbeaten coming into the day and fighting for their lives, so you can't underestimate coming here
and winning. No, in the Premier League, every away game is very difficult. And you see, they have confidence, they play well. Again, you have to give them credit, but I think today we needed the 3 points. We said it in the dressing room as well. No matter what we do, 3 points, so we did.
Successive clean sheets, couple of wins back-to-back, bit of confidence going. We're playing all right, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we showed the last two home games that we can play unbelievable football, and today we show character. You need to have both, to have points in the Premier League to get us up in the table, but we have to see game by game, you know. Next, very important home game, again a London derby, so we have to be ready for that.
Yeah, Palace again, isn't it? I mean, Sunday, back-to-back London derbies. Look, another clean sheet, another win, and we'll be probably back in business, Toby, won't we?
Yeah, I think we have to see game by game. I know, again, it's a cliche, but I think that's the only way we can go up. And everybody's fighting and getting their confidence, you know, and that's very important.
Pierre, well done. A real battle out there tonight, but a good 1-0 win in the end.
Yeah, and sometimes these wins are the beautiful ones, you know. I think the team, especially first half, created a lot of chances and enough to also seal the game. But again, we held against and everybody was working fantastic. The players coming on as well, giving all they had. And I think it was Coco in the end, always giving us, icing on the cake. So, I think all over, a fantastic commitment from the team and it's something that really nice to be a part of.
You're right, it was a team performance, wasn't it? That's what's got us over the line tonight.
Yeah, and that's over a season what will get you the results. And we showed it again tonight, and the team hasn't lost any belief and is still focusing on what is the main points. And credit to everyone to keep doing that. And, you know, it's not hard. It's been a tough season in terms of many games in a short time of space, but everybody's keeping fit and really pushing to show themselves and to help the team, which is again a great feeling to be a part of.
Looking at the season, Pierre, this is game 43 tonight, 26 in the Premier League. You've played them all 26. You've played the lot. How are you feeling?
Oh, when we win, I'm feeling great. So that's the most important. Listen, I'm here to help the team, and I'm here to do my best for the team. And if I'm needed, I will give my all. And if not, I will give my all to the players who are in the starting lineup. So it's fantastic to be a part of. It's fantastic to be a part of a team and a club who's really pushing to do something great. And I'm here to, like I say, give my best to the team and chasing the big things.
Jose, well done. Very hard fought 1-0 win and a big win for us tonight.
Yes, three important points. We should, we could, we played enough to kill the game, especially in the first half. We didn't. Then we knew that the second half would always be hard. But when they had their reaction, their time to react, we were solid. We did okay. And then I believe the three changes they brought the energy and the qualities that the team needed at that time. Lucas controlling well. Brian, Lamela playing with Harris through the middle and bringing the ball to zones and also creating and getting fouls to reduce the intensity of the game. Musa gave us that strength that we needed at that time too. So as a team, the boys, they did well.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was a team performance, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As a team, we changed three players. I would like to change 11 because all of them, they deserve to play. I changed three. And I believe that in this moment, the way the squad is working, the next game I'm going to change other three because we need that as a team. And the squad as a squad deserves that too.
Clean sheet, big for us as well tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, very important. Two saves, but two important saves. And good concentration, good focus. A good control of a team that I want to say that is an attacking team because they project so many players in attacking areas. Very pleased, of course.
Hi there, this is Mike Wicks from the 5-year plan Crystal Palace fanzine, somewhat tentatively looking forward to our game on Sunday. So I could keep this preview extremely brief by saying that Wilfried Zaha is almost certainly out, barring a miraculous recovery from his hamstring injury, which is pretty much all you need to know. Because whilst we've actually picked up 5 points in our last three matches, our attacking threat has been virtually non-existent. Our two goals in the win against Brighton came from our only two touches in their penalty area. So I wouldn't expect that to change on Sunday. In fact, for those of you who are fans of expected goals, we've managed a total of 2.52 XG in the 5.5 games since Zaha got injured against Newcastle. And indeed, for those of you who aren't fans of expected goals, we've created very few chances in the 5.5 games since Zaha got injured against Newcastle. With or without Zaha, Roy Hodgson almost exclusively plays a back four with a very well-drilled, narrow unit ahead of them. For the majority of his tenure, we've lined up in a 4-4-2, but more recently we've played a 4-3-3. Either way, the focus is always on keeping our defensive shape, sitting in what the tactics hitters like to call a low block and picking our moments when to get forward. The problem without Zaha is not just losing his magic, but it also means we're pretty devoid of any pace. So with Zaha out, who will likely play on Sunday? Well, the back four and the keeper are pretty much guaranteed due to form and injury. So in goal, we've got Vicente Guaita, who I'm sure you'll all remember from the reverse fixture, which is pretty indicative of the form he's shown in the last couple of years since he signed for us. Albeit that game back in December was probably his standout performance. Hopefully he doesn't need to make as many tremendous saves on Sunday evening. Fullbacks, we've got two opposites. Joel Ward, a stalwart, very dependable but exciting Premier League fullback with our younger, more dynamic options. Out injured at the moment. And on the other side, we've got Patrick Van Aanholt, who's much more of an attacking threat, but causes us problems defensively. But in the middle, it's going to almost certainly be Cheka Kouyaté and Gary Cahill, who probably need no introduction, because the rest of our centre-backs are either returning from injury or out injured themselves. Then further ahead, again, it's probably pretty predictable. You've got Luka Milivojevic, who's our captain and holding midfielder, who very much splits opinion within the fan base. He's certainly not the same player since Johan Cabaye left, although that's not his fault, of course. And then alongside him, again due to injury, as James McCarthy went off injured in the second half against Man United last night, in his stead we'll probably have Jairo Riedewald, who's probably the opposite of Luka, and he is a fan's favourite, but not always trusted by Roy. He's ex-Ajax and a converted centre-back, so he's technically excellent, but sometimes tends to get a little bit lost in a Premier League midfield. And then sitting alongside them, These days just to the left of centre, sometimes drifting out further wide. Eberechi Eze, who's our big summer signing from QPR. And Eze is an absolute gem of a player, just lovely to watch. One of these players that just glides around the pitch. But of course, he's not the finished article. He's still learning his trade. But on his day, he's definitely our best chance of unlocking the Spurs defence. Which leaves the front three. Again, probably picks itself due to the players we have available. On the wings, we've got Andros Townsend. Again, a player you'll be very familiar with, although not the player you may remember. Injuries have deprived him of a huge amount of his pace. Although what you might find familiar is that he still loves a speculative shot from range. And once in a while, they go in, which is nice. And you'll probably see his brother, Jordan Ayew, who's our reigning player of the year. More shame on me. And he's very much a Roy Hodgson attacker because he works hard. Lots of industry and the occasional guile. Last year, he scored very much our goal of the season, not the goal of the season. That went to Song Heung-min, of course, although we would certainly argue the toss with a very Messi-esque run and finish against West Ham. And then leading the line, again, it's probably going to be Christian Benteke, who is certainly no longer a goal scorer, if his record is anything to judge by over the last couple of years. But frankly, we're a better team when he plays. Because other than those 11, our injury list players still not 100% fit to play after returning from injury deprive of a lot of other options. Players you might see, Jeff Schlupp, who's just come back from a long-term injury. I think he might have been in the Spurs game, I can't quite remember. But he got a few minutes off the bench against Manchester United last night. And he is one who can provide a bit of pace. And he's a personal favourite of mine, so I hope he gets a bit of game time in the second half. And then the alternatives to Benteke up front are Jean-Philippe Mateta, who we've just recently signed in the January window from Mainz. And he scored his first goal against Brighton, a lovely back heel. But again, you get the sense that he's not fully trusted by Hodgson or not fully embedded into the system, certainly in his off the ball work. Another only Michy Batshuayi, who it's just really not worked out for him at Palace second time round. A great finisher, we just don't create many chances, so that asset is pretty nullified. So that's it. In terms of the result, I am going to be optimistic and say a 1-0 win for Spurs, with Son getting the goal in the second half. Hopefully I'm wrong, and it's an end-to-end thriller. We'll see you on Sunday evening. Best of luck with the rest of the season.
And we're back. Thank you so much for those previews. So, yes, 42 points, as I said a couple of shows ago. Two of those games gone, 6 of the points in the bag. Next up, as we said, Tottenham versus Palace. Sunday the 7th, 7:15 kickoff. Oh, we haven't got like 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning kickoff. Wonderful, marvellous, 7:15, that'll do. I'll come to you first, Mr. McQueen. This Sunday, what are you saying? Tottenham versus Palace. Another 3 points in the bag, surely. We're on a roll, aren't we?
Well, do you know what? Palace were a completely different proposition if Wilfred Zaha plays. Completely different proposition. And when you look at their lineup against Manchester United in the fog-ridden game that they played yesterday, and out to a boring 0-0, he didn't play, and he's not even on the bench. So you're looking at that and you're going, well, okay, so you know that maybe that's a situation that could be good for Spurs. When you look at their previous game, it was 0-0 against Fulham, so they've had two back-to-back 0-0, so they haven't conceded a goal. And you have a look at Wolf, Big Wolf. Did he play? No, he didn't. So, you know, from the two games that Wolf ain't played, they haven't scored any goals. So they are a different proposition when Wilfred Zaha plays. Now, you can bet your bottom dollar 100% that Wolf is going to start on Sunday. Like, I don't know if we've got any, you know, classic team news. I know that the guys and the listeners and stuff probably have it as we're recording kind of the night before, that maybe we get some news out. But you can bet the bottom dollar that Wilf plays. So I think John's right. I think that, you know, the fullbacks that we've got in our armoury in terms of Aurier and Reguilon will kind of balance it out a little bit. I think if you look at Crystal Palace on our ground, typically they're beatable. Typically we turn them over. And, you know, if you look at their league position and what they've actually been doing so far this season, they're pretty woeful. Although having said that, there wasn't that many points behind us before this little mini run that we've put together. But yeah, I mean, I fancy us. Ezi is a very, very good player. There's no doubt about that. I know, John, you were really keen on him when you get coming to Tottenham. And you know, we know Townsend, what he can do. He's got a wand of a left foot still, and got some pace. Wilfried Zaha is their best player without a shadow of a doubt. So, you know, I think they've got something going forward which will trouble us. But again, if we get on the front foot and if we go after them at home, we'll beat them. Simple as that. If we play like we did today, I'll be a bit worried. I'll be honest with you, I'll be worried. We have to have our shooting boots on. We have to be clinical and we have to score goals. And if we score early in the first 10, 15 minutes and then go at them again like we did Burnley, we'll beat Crystal Palace, no issue at all. So that's really my thoughts on that. I think that, you know, we've got maybe another one eye on the Europa League after that. But this week could be very, very kind to us. 3 Premier League games in 7 days and we get 9 points out of it. Fantastic return. And we're back. We're back in a mixer of some sorts.
Jamie, coming to you, and we should be looking to turn Palace over. That should be a gimme, shouldn't it? Given our little upturn as well.
Yeah, I think just on Zaha, it does look like he probably will be back for that game, which is a bit of a shame. But I mean, look, again, he has only just returned. He's been out for quite a while, so maybe he won't be kind of fresh. And again, maybe that might be turned into a meme when he's scored a late equaliser against us. And I look a bit stupid. But no, I think it's certainly a game that we have to go and win. I mean, you look at some of their performances recently, you know, they've registered like 3 shots on goal throughout the whole game. They've surrendered, you know, they've had very little possession in the majority of their games. They haven't been playing very well recently. So for sure, you know, especially at home, you know, with the fullbacks, as Lee said, coming back into the side, Aurier and Reguilon, I think that will give us a massive boost. And, you know, hopefully we'll see the likes of Bale and Dele again, and we should have more than enough quality to go and beat Palace. And yeah, so, I mean, look, no excuses on paper. We've absolutely got to go and win that game. And if we turn up, we'll get the 3 points, and that'd be huge for us, because obviously that'll be 3 wins in a row, and then we're really kind of obviously massive confidence. And then you kind of look at the league table, and we're well back in contention with the top 4. So, yeah, very big game, but one that we certainly should be getting the 3 points in.
John, fitness, hopefully, given that it will be fit, Son, Kane, Bale and Dele again to start, as I say, as long as they're fit, which I was trying to say and made a right mess of.
Yeah, you know, I think Kane and Son will certainly start. The other two, it depends how they've come through playing a lot of football in the last couple of weeks, including the Europa League game. So we'll just be seeing how they are. If they're not, then, you know, Lucas, Lamella, Bergwijn, one of these guys can come into the lineup. So it'll be a tough game against Palace, don't get me wrong. They always sort of... I don't know, it's a funny one, Palace, because... Look, they don't sit back. Palace will attack us, and that's why we normally do quite well against them. It's attack against attack. We've got better attacking players overall than Palace have got, hence why we normally win. We've also got a pretty good record down at Selhurst Park. I know we had the 1-1 this year, but before that, we'd won 5 years in a row over there. Unfortunately, last time out, it was Gaeta, wasn't it, who pulled off a whole load of saves and, you know, did his best Gordon Banks impression for the afternoon. So hopefully he's not doing that. Yeah,
he had a Tim Krul. Everyone has a Tim Krul against us.
Exactly. And the other one who always pops up with goals against us isn't actually Zaha. And from memory, I don't think he's ever scored against us, or maybe only once. And I've seen us at Palace multiple times. It's actually Jeffrey Schlupp who always pops in these goals.
Yes.
And he'll be one to look out for again. You know, I don't really know what position he plays. He seems to be a complete utility man. Wherever he plays,
sounds like a Doherty and a Winks type situation.
Oh, he's better than I'd swap him all day. I'd swap both. And they're a funny team, Palace. I mean, the forwards they've got are quite depressing as well. Benteke, Batshuayi. I don't really rate either of those guys. So, yeah, it's a funny one. But we will beat Palace. I'm quite confident about that. I think we've got better attacking players at home, fresh fullbacks, and I'm confident of another win. And look, we need it to be another win because the week after, North London derby time. We need points in the bag now so we can go into that not under the pressure of potentially that mob overtaking us or anything awful like that.
Well, that's, yes, that for me is why I was disappointed with the performance tonight, because I wanted to bring that momentum, you know, to go and get a couple of goals, you know, get some, not go and batter them, but even by, like I said, winning 1-0 tonight, fine. But, you know, have a go, get some good shots, some blocks, get the keeper tested, make him have a worldie, the old Areola. Do you know what I mean? But that didn't happen. So now we're going into the Palace game a little bit more tentative. Mm. Do you get what I mean? Now, when you look at the head-to-heads with against Crystal Palace, and actually, John, you make a really good point. Zaha doesn't score that many against us or at all, but it's a dynamic that he brings to the team that enables them to do other stuff. He worries people. Like, you can imagine, like, Sissoko giving away a silly free kick against Zaha or Aurier, no offence, because it was him that gave it away the last time, and they got a 1-1 draw that Jeffrey Schlott scored, right? You know what I mean? So you can see the panicking of Davinson Sanchez thinking, oh my goodness, you know, Wilf Zaha is going to run at me. So I think it's that he brings to the dynamic of the team, and that's the key difference. But 13 total wins against Palace, and they've only had three total wins in the when we go match head to head, and there's been a couple of draws actually, but previous to that, 4-0 at home, 2-0 at home, we should have enough. And you know, even talking about this long is a worry in itself. We should be beating Crystal Palace at home, not even a problem. But I think the key words that you said there, Jamie, earlier is if we turn up, we've got to turn up. You got to turn up, go on a front foot and have a go. Because if Gareth Bale turns up like he did the other day against Burnley, still out of Palace, no issue.
I think this is the worry for me. I mean, you know, a couple of months ago when we used to kind of have these performances and then we'd say, yeah, look, brilliant, we got the job done, we got the win or whatever. And then, you know, and then we went on that run of where we kind of, you know, we really struggled when we were sitting back, and it just doesn't work. So hopefully, you know, we do go and play on the front foot on the weekend for sure. I mean, we definitely need to see that.
A quick runs round of score predictions. Anybody want to put their head in the block? I'm going 2-0 Spurs, actually. A good 2-0 win. John?
I'm going to go 2-1. And it's going to be, as Lee said, actually, it's going to be Zaha running at Disco Dizzy Dave, and he'll commit a foul and it'll be a penalty or something. So, yeah, he's been getting a bit of too much praise for me after one good performance against Burnley without Wood and Barnes. So let's see on that.
Jamie, coming to you.
I definitely can kind of see something the same. I'm going to go for 3-1 to Spurs. I'm confident we'll get the win. I think we should have more than enough.
Excellent. And Mr. McQueen?
Well, you look at the last couple of results and they haven't conceded against Manchester United and Fulham. And, you know, we've just praised Fulham tonight and Crystal Palace kept a clean sheet. Manchester United are having a good season. So, you know, I think it will be tougher than what maybe, you know, we're going to turn them over 4-0 like a Burnley. But, you know, that said, Burnley defended well before coming to us and we battered them 4-0. So I'm actually going to go for a comfortable, same as Jamie, but it'd be comfortable. 3-1 Tottenham Hotspur victory. And in 7-day period, that's played three, won three. Crazy Train's back on the rails, baby. And we are teed up for that North London derby, which, again, 2 weeks ago, I was mega worried about. If we get a win against Palace, I'm going in there confident.
Yeah, boy, as the kids say. Listen to this then. As I said, I'm going 2-0. Davinson Sanchez and Doherty to score. All right. I'm going to say Doherty plays again and they both score. All right. And
Kids, get your piggy banks out now and get your pennies out and put a pound on that happening. Because I tell you what, if Doherty even plays, you'll be getting your money back.
I'm telling you, he's going to play him and he's going to score and we're going to be waxing lyrical about his performance. Anyway, enough nonsense from me. Listen, thank you so, so much for downloading and listening. Apologies we didn't get round to any of your questions this evening, but we went straight to record after the final whistle. But as always, we do appreciate you all reaching out to us and giving us your thoughts, either via at Last Word on Spurs or personally on our Instas and Twitters and everywhere. So, yeah, please keep me up. Always love to read what you've got to say. It's all good stuff. Jamie, John, Lee, thank you so much. Wonderful panel this evening. Thank you for making my caretaker role a pleasure to do, as always. So, listen.
Brilliant as always, crackers, mate. Brilliant as always.
Thank you very much. Good stuff. Keep safe, keep well, and as always, get on that train and come on, you Spurs. Sports Social Podcast Network.